Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to another episode of the Steelers Preview. I am Jeff Harbin, editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. With me, as always, my co-host, Brian Anthony Davis. Today, we are talking about a trap game. No, not a trap game. If you listened to our show last night, Lance Williams and myself clearly defined that this is not a trap game because, in our opinion, trap games are when you have a team that's coming off a big win, playing a team that they should beat, and they're vulnerable. That is not the case with Pittsburgh, as they're coming off back-to-back losses to AFC West teams, and now they're playing a bad team. But I don't think that with the current scenario in the AFC North and the AFC playoff picture, this would be considered a trap game. With that, I bring in my co-host, Brian Anthony Davis, and ask you, Brian, is this a trap game?
No, you know, it actually could be considered more like a do-or-die game with four games to go in the season, especially with Baltimore a-lurking.
Absolutely, and I think I titled the show, it's a put-up-or-shut-up game, because we've heard it all week. We're fine, it's just two games, blah, blah, blah. You go to Oakland and lay an egg like they have since Neil O'Donnell was the quarterback, and guess what? They're in trouble. Now, granted, the Baltimore Ravens could lose to Kansas City, and we'll talk about that game a little bit later in the show. But at the same time, if you lose this game and you have the Patriots, Saints, and Bengals waiting, that is not a recipe for success. So with that said, Brian, what are your general thoughts on the upcoming game this Sunday?
You know what? It all comes down to Ben Roethlisberger, you know, getting that, whatever's going on with him, getting that that yippy pass here and there away from him. So it's going to come down to Ben and Antonio Brown hooking up big time and trying to set up the run game, because you have two untested guys for this season in Jalen Samuels and Stephen Ridley. So with that being said, Ben's going to need to carry this team and get all that with crazy interceptions and lazy passes that go for picks.
Yeah, his play has been sporadic at best. Right before we went on the air, we were talking about how he is statistically the top quarterback in the NFL in terms of yards and things of that nature, but he's definitely not the top quarterback when it comes to interceptions. I believe only Sam Darnold, the rookie from the New York Jets, has more interceptions than Ben Roethlisberger. That is a very sad statistic, in my opinion, considering the fact that he is a Pro Bowler and he is a two-time Super Bowl champion and a veteran in this league. You just do not expect, gunslinger mentality, enough of it, okay? I mean, he can talk that gunslinger crap all he wants, but you have to protect the football. And let's be honest, this defense is probably not going to get you a game where they're going to get two or more turnovers. If they get two, my goodness, let's throw a party, because they just don't get that many. But at the same time, you have to protect the football. And so I agree with you. I think that's the paramount, that's of paramount importance this week. And so here we go, going to Oakland again. Brian, I know you could probably spout off the dates like I could about the years of the duds that have, the goose eggs they've laid out there, whether it was
2006. Oh,
yeah. Wasn't that the Terrell Pryor game where he ran 99 yards on the very first play from scrimmage? And
that was 2013, actually.
Oh, okay.
But 2006 was after the Super Bowl. Ben went in and threw four interceptions.
Two of them were returned for touchdowns, I believe.
Yeah, two pick sixes. And Oakland had a really bad record at the time, too.
There is definite cause for concern for Steeler fans. I just want to say that first, because they have a horrible record in Oakland. And I'm not joking. The last time they won in Oakland, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, was it 1995?
Yeah.
And that was when Neil O'Donnell was a quarterback. That was the year that the Steelers went to Super Bowl 30 and lost and to the Dallas Cowboys. Go ahead.
It was an early December game, too.
Yeah.
So it was somewhere around December 10th, if I looked it up. So we're almost 23 years to the day of this game.
And I think someone said that the Raiders, Oakland is the only spot in the AFC that Ben Roethlisberger has not won a game in so far throughout his career.
And
I think that's right. Yeah.
Against the NFC, excuse me, not the NFC, against teams in the Mountain and the West, I believe that Mike Tomlin is 3-9 against those teams out West when he goes out there.
Well,
so definitely a rough record.
Let's also say that I give them credit. They're trying something different. There's always the talk of the time change and things of that nature. They are leaving earlier on Saturday. And Ben Roethlisberger said this in his Wednesday media session, that normally they always left at the same time, which is, you know, kind of an early afternoon flight, but they're leaving earlier in the day. They're going to have their walkthrough in Oakland. I'm not saying it's going to work, but it's better than doing the same old thing. I guess just try something different. It was funny to me that Roethlisberger brought up the 2013 trip to London where they played the Minnesota Vikings. That was when they started 0-4, and how the Vikings had gone over, I want to say Monday or Tuesday, and had been there all week. The Steelers didn't go over till Thursday, and he did say that that had an impact on him. So, Brian, you travel a lot. I know you've been out to the West Coast. I never have. Lance lives on the West Coast. What do you think about the time change? Does it mess you up, or is this just all pomp and circumstance?
No, it does mess you up. And I was in London last year. So when Ben said that, I actually agree with that, because that is a really, when you come home, London, it takes you a good 10 days to feel back to your normal self. When I go to California, when I come back, there's always that problem when you're like, because you're now 3 hours earlier in your mind, or three hours later, and you're all screwed up. And that 3 hours does a little something to you. And they said that about the Los Angeles Chargers, how one of the big benefits that they got was getting flexed to primetime. That really helped them out. I mean, could it? Or could they just be a good team? And could Pittsburgh just be making stupid excuses with their travel agent?
This
is ridiculous.
Travel. Yeah, no, you might be right. So if you're the first time listener to the show, and there might be someone that's just stumbled upon it, whether it's on YouTube or whether it's scrolling through podcast search engines, typing Steelers, the Steelers preview, we don't just sit here and talk about our travel plans and our travel history. We do talk about the upcoming matchup, and we're going to break it down for you in a very specific and a very routine fashion. And we're going to start off with the key matchups. Now, I'm superstitious. 2 weeks ago, I went first because they were on a winning streak. They lost. So last week, I let Brian go first. They lost. So screw you, Brian. I'm going first again. Here's the thing. If there's a game, my matchup number one, and is it a key matchup? I don't know. Some people will probably spout off on the YouTube comments saying I'm an idiot, but I don't care what they think. This Oakland Raiders team has 10 sacks on the season. This defense. 10 sacks on the season. TJ Watt by himself has 10 sacks on the season. If there's a game where Ben Roethlisberger shouldn't even be breathed on, it's this one. Now, Marcus Gilbert, I went off on him in last night's episode. If you haven't listened to it, check it out. It's about midway through the episode. He is turning into a giant piece of crap for me because he cannot... He can't get healthy. It's ridiculous. People want to criticize Vance McDonald. Marcus Gilbert hasn't played since before the bye week. The same knee injury. If he's going to be this dead weight, put him on injured reserve. That's what I say. But anyways, this is a game that the offensive line needs to completely dominate. Dominate the run game. Dominate in pass protection. If Mike Munchak's group is as good as they think they are, and let's be honest, that we all know they are, this is a game Ben Roethlisberger should have zero quarterback hits, zero sacks, clean pockets to throw from. Again, this team has 10 sacks on the season. There's no Khalil Mack walking through that door. And so for that, I say key matchup number one is the offensive line has to dominate. Brian, what's your key matchup?
It's Keith Butler, Jeff.
Oh, boy, this guy.
Old Mr. Green Jeans here needs to – I have a buddy – a good buddy of mine that swears he looks just like Mr. Green Jeans from the Captain Kangaroo. So I had to throw that out there. He's been 3 years, but asked me, put that on the podcast, put that on BTSC. I said, I will. But anyways, Keith Butler, he needs to quit standing pat. So it's Keith Butler against himself and standing pat. Look, there was no adjustments in that second half. You think that Anthony Lynn and the Los Angeles Chargers didn't go in and change things? The defense could see what was starting to happen. They knew Keenan Allen had 40 catches in the first half alone. I mean, they knew they were going to keep going back to Keenan Allen, and you continue to put a linebacker play after play after play. They did not adjust that defense. And when things were going south, they continued to not do anything. So it's Keith Butler. Get a scheme. Change your scheme. Just because Bill Walsh back in the 70s and 80s said, hey, let's script plays and let's do this and don't the first 25 plays. Hey, you have to adjust when things are going wrong. Hey, I've got this in my notebook. I got to keep it going this way. No, you don't have to do that. Don't stand pat. Switch it up. You're a coach. You have to coach on the fly. I'm sorry, I haven't taken my medication, Jeff.
No, you're right to call out Keith Butler, and he was dragged across the coals several times this week by people on our website as well as the local media in Pittsburgh. So yeah, totally, totally justified. So for me, my second key matchup is going to be on the other side of the ball as well. And this goes to Keith Butler. I am going to say, Keith, just keep dialing up the blitz. I wrote an article that ran this afternoon. This was being recorded on Thursday. So if you haven't read it yet on the site, check it out, behindthesteelcurtain.com. It's all about how Blitzburg is back. And that is because the Pittsburgh Steelers have, they're like 0.2% below the Carolina Panthers in terms of how often they blitz. They're blitzing a lot. That's kind of a catch-22 because they're leading the NFL in sacks with 41. They're on pace to be just underneath the team record 56. But at the same time, they're getting home, but they're also leaving their secondary a little bit vulnerable. So I look at the Oakland Raiders. They have surrendered 39 sacks this season. That's fifth in the NFL. And you have a team like the Steelers that has 41 sacks. This could be a game where you see a player like Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, Bud Dupree, even Stephon Tuitt, and hey, Javon Hargrave, my gosh, has 6.5 sacks. They could really tally some pressure on Carr this game. So my matchup is for Keith Butler to stay aggressive. You look at the Steelers in terms of turnovers. They don't get them that often. If you're going to get them, you have to almost at sometimes force them. You have to go for the strip sack fumble. You have to hope that you hit Derek Carr as he's thrown and the ball flutters and you get an easy pick. At this point in time, the Steelers can't be picky about their interceptions, about their fumble recoveries. They just need turnovers. Dial up the blitz, Mr. Green Sleeves or whatever you said. And that's
Mr.
my
Green Jeans. Green Jeans. Jeans.
Yeah. Green Sleeves. I think that's a Christmas thing. Anyways,
that's you're going to give it. You'll Google it later. I know you're going to Google it.
As soon as I start talking,
you're going to be like.
So I say that my key matchup number two is clearly Keith Butler being aggressive, getting after Carr, forcing the issue in terms of turnovers, sack the quarterback. That's my matchup number two. Brian, what's yours?
Okay, this one's going to need some explanation. The Steelers versus pouting. And the reason I'm saying pouting, no, check this out. Look, when things don't go their way against the referees, and let me address the referees. I don't care if referees had 7 botched calls. Good teams will go ahead and have to beat the referees and their opponent in the same night. And Pittsburgh wilted. When they had that offside penalty with Gabriel running free and Mike Hilton getting burnt, they started to wilt a little bit. And then those other, block in the back, they wilted even more. When things don't go their way, they kind of, I wrote in that knee-jerk article, I'm like, they've pretty much quit. They have packed up, taken their ball, and went home. But the problem is San Diego kept the ball and kept running it down the field and scoring on them. So when things go wrong, you know what? Roll up those sleeves, buck up, and go fight even more. If you have to beat the referees, beat the referees. But don't wilt just because you get some kind of adversity. And this team has to prove to me, Jeff, and to prove to all of Steeler Nation that they're not going to pack it all in.
No, you're right. And sometimes I think the team kind of, or I should say the fans kind of mirror the team in that aspect because if things don't go right, there is a lot of pouting. Okay. So, I would say that if I'm going to go with my third key matchup, I'm looking at the Steelers offense. And I think that it should be pretty easy to move the ball on Oakland. And the Steelers now possess the number one red zone offense in the National Football League. And that's impressive. They're fourth in the league in terms of points per game. They're averaging 28.8. I think you just got to keep doing what you're doing, but protect the football, which is something you mentioned earlier in the show. Add to that total. I want to see the Steelers get that total, that average over 30 points per game. This, in my opinion, and this is not a specific key matchup, and like I said, people will probably whine and complain in the comment section, but you know what? Suck it up. That for me, this is a get-well game. You've lost two in a row. You're in Oakland. Everyone talks about the black hole, that whatever the curse that's going on out there, the nonsense. You know what? This is a game where the Steelers, I would say it kind of mirrors the Carolina Panthers Thursday night game, where it is dominance from both sides of the football. And let's get Joshua Dobbs some reps. That should be the goal in this game. Let's get Josh Dobbs some reps. So that's my goal, is keep doing what you're doing on the red zone. Move the football, protect the football, put points on the board, touchdowns, not field goals. And I think this is a get-well game. Dominate the Oakland Raiders. Brian, what's your third?
One, I think you are absolutely correct, and get that black hole thing out of your mind. You know, but one thing about that Oakland Alameda Coliseum, I would tell you, I would rather go to a mammogram with Betty White than go ahead and have to go to that stadium wearing a Steeler jersey. I mean, that is the worst place. In fact, when I think of that place, I think of the scene in Star Wars, and I don't want to call you out, Jeff, for not liking Star Wars, but when they get ready to go into that scene at the very first part of the entire series, Obi-Wan Kenobi says something you will never see another bastion of vile people in your life, or something like that. And that is what I think of when I think of the Oakland Raiders. Now, Star Wars geeks, I'm one. I ruined that quote because I did it on the fly, so don't kill me in the comments on that. So don't at me. That's the new thing. So don't at Brian Davis on this. So my third key, Jeff, I'm kind of fired up tonight. I don't know who's going to be seeing who, but it seems like the number one receiver now with Martavis Bryant with a PCL out for the year, you're not going to get to see him. Seems like the number one receiver now with Amari Cooper gone now is Jordy Nelson. And Jordy Nelson had a nice game last week against the Kansas City Chiefs, had over 100 yards. And he's a smaller guy. And we talked about this last week with Joe Hayden struggling against those smaller guys and playing better against those bigger receivers. So Joe Hayden against Jordy Nelson, that might be a key game. And Jordy Nelson has torched the Steelers in the past. I mean, definitely in that Super Bowl, Jordy Nelson, if you didn't know his name beforehand, you knew it during that game. Jordy Nelson knows how to beat the Steelers, and he's a guy that I don't care how old, how injured, how whatever he is, he still could beat you, and keep your eye on that matchup. I think Hayden versus Nelson is nice.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm not going to disagree with that at all. I do want to preface this, or I want to make something very clear. It's not that I'm not a Star Wars fan. I've never even seen the movies.
And I know it. That's
no interest in seeing the movies, because you know what? I saw Spaceballs, and I love Spaceballs, and that to me is the equivalent of watching every single episode of the Star Wars series. I will watch Darth Helmet until I need to, you know, get that out of my system. It's just not for me, you know. So be it.
So I touched on a nerve. Didn't
no, you really didn't. I really don't. I haven't watched Harry Potter either.
And I'm a big Potter fan too. So you're killing me, Artman. You're killing me.
You're speaking to your character now, Brian. I hope you understand that. So,
you're doing yourself a disservice, Jeff. I'm just telling you.
Are you? Okay. All right. Well, I'll take it. That's fine.
Open yourself to that magical world.
Well, I'd like to live in reality, so we'll stick with reality and the Steelers game coming up Sunday. Now is when we turn to one player that could make or break the game. Could be an offensive player, could be a defensive player, could be a Steeler, could be a Raider. And who's that one guy that could totally change the game for the Steelers? Again, Brian, you're not going first. I am. I'm going to go ahead and say something that you said. I'm going to kind of echo what you said earlier, and I think it's Ben Roethlisberger. It sounds like an easy pick. You could easily go with a running back. But at the same time, if Roethlisberger continues to turn over the football, then it's a moot point. They lose in Oakland because he turns the ball over so much there. Protect the football. Have a good game plan. Take what the defense gives you. Ben Roethlisberger. Look, if you didn't know this before the season started, you do now. This team goes as Ben goes. He is the straw that stirs the proverbial drink. And so for him, he has to play clean. He has to play smart. He has to not turn it over. That's my player that can turn the tide. What about for you, Brian?
To quote Yoda, a good game Jalen Samuels will have. I think Jalen Samuels could be a big key because you're not expecting him to do much. But look, you touched on it earlier. This is the best offensive line in the league, if you ask me, 1 through 5. Even with Chooks in there or Matt Filer, this is the best offensive line in my mind. And they could open the holes. We're going to see what Jalen Samuels, and I know not everybody loves the Swiss Army knife connotation that he was given at the draft. But look, let's see what the Swiss Miss can do here. And I tell you what, if he goes and has a good game, that's going to really open some things up for the future, even when James Conner comes back. But the Raiders aren't ready for Jalen Samuels. They do not have the best defense against the rush. They're giving up 153.3 yards a game. Maybe Jalen could have a great coming out party here. And if he does, it's going to be tough for Pittsburgh to lose because they will not be dimensional.
Okay. I can't disagree with that. I absolutely can't disagree. I think the Steelers are going to run the ball, and they're going to try to run the ball in this game. And so this brings us to our next segment, which is our fantasy football segment, where we pick in this matchup, stardom, sit-em players. Look, you might be in the playoffs of your traditional fantasy league, and you might be looking for someone that you could maybe snag up. There are some options now for the Steelers, or you might be like us and play in daily fantasy leagues, which case you have, the option to pick whomever you'd like. And so we pick player to start, player to sit, and that's obviously who you want to play and who you want to avoid. So for me, I'm going to go first with the starting, and I'm going to say start. This is going to be a bargain. Think flex. I'm going to say, although they might jack up his price, I'm going to try. I'd say start Stephen Ridley. And the reason why I'm going to say start Stephen Ridley is because I don't think that Jalen Samuels is the type of running back that can successfully run in between the tackles for 15 or more times. I think Jalen Samuels is a good third down option, a guy you can put in the slot, run routes. It's what he's done. His touchdowns, I believe two of the three have all been receiving touchdowns. I don't think he's the guy that they want. Stephen Ridley is the guy that has the power. He does have a burst. People forget that. Think back to Cleveland last year when he was the guy running the football. He did it against Houston as well at the end of last season. I know those were subpar teams, but still I'm looking at his running style. I think that Stephen Ridley will end up with more carries than Jalen Samuels, and I think he'll get more goal line opportunities as well. So that's why I say fantasy start. If you're looking for a bargain, start Stephen Ridley. There you go. Take that to the bank.
Ooh, and the I like that.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I've been thinking about this, and I usually always go Steelers, and I'm going with David Carr. I don't like what I'm seeing with the Pittsburgh pass defense as of late. I don't like the fact that they're not getting any turnovers. So, you know, those are some extra points there. This is a guy that's a top 10 quarterback. He consistently, you know, they're putting up around 200 and I guess, let me see this if I'm correct, passing yards a game. They're putting up around 245 or so. But he can really feast on a team like the Steelers. And back in 2015, he put up a lot of points. And in fact, I remember that game when Pittsburgh played Oakland and Antonio Brown went nuts and Ben Roethlisberger went nuts. But David Carr, a lot of people picked him up off of waivers after that game because he was available. And he was a guy, he lit it up against that Pittsburgh defense. And that was a much better Pittsburgh defense in 15 than it is in 18. So look at David Carr, and I don't expect him to be as expensive as more of your top-tier guys, and especially in a FanDuel league. You could get him at a bargain price, but get, you know, high quality dollars out of him.
Well, I don't know if you'd want to start David Carr, considering he's an NFL Network analyst. I mean, I'm not sure if he's going to be
there, actually. Okay. Start David Carr's brother. Damn, man. Where's my Letterman side effect? Sound effect.
There you go.
Side
yeah.
Effect. Okay, I'm all out of sorts.
Hey, that game against Oakland in Pittsburgh was when Antonio Brown went absolutely ballistic for over 230 yards. I think it was like a video game, and that was a fun game to watch. Believe it or not, I think that was. Hey, if you're looking for bargain players, and I like what we both did there. We both gave people that do FanDuel and stuff like that options that aren't obvious picks. You know, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger could be a start for you, but at the same time, he's going to cost you over $9,000 for that start. So some bargain bin players there. Like, we're going to Walmart looking for Baltimore Ravens stuff. It's always in the bargain bin. So there you go. So let's go to the AFC North. We have some other games to talk about, and I want to see who you think is going to win before we give our prediction on the Steelers versus Raiders on Sunday. I think it's a 4:05 or 4:25. I'll have to double check. Nonetheless, the game that everyone wants to know about is the Kansas City Chiefs are hosting the Baltimore Ravens. Brian, I want to know, what do you think is going to happen in this one? Who do you have winning?
Well, I tell you what, this is definitely a sexy game. I really can't wait to watch this one. I'm going to try to make sure that I am on my couch, popcorn ready, because Baltimore is playing a lot better. They've rallied around Lamar Jackson. And I got to make sure that I don't call him Deshaun or another Jackson, Action Jackson, or anything that played back in the 70s, and I don't want to screw this up. But, they are finding their identity with this guy. If this was at home in Baltimore, I would actually take the upset. But I really think they're surging. But it's really tough to play in Arrowhead. Kansas City, with that sea of red crazies there, you know, just completely going nuts at you. That's a tough place to play. Then you have that. Then you have the fact that they are bonding. This team is bonding over the Kareem Hunt news. So it's them against the world right now. And this is really odd to me, Jeff. Did you notice that the Super Bowl odds for the Kansas City Chiefs went up when Kareem Hunt got cut?
No, I did not know that.
They actually got better odds. And I find that crazy, but then I'm thinking that there's a bonding factor. Now it's us against the world if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they start rolling again. The Cinderella's going, the slip off of Cinderella a little bit this week doesn't mean that their chances are dead, but they have to survive this game on the road and the Chargers on the road in the next week. So they've got a tough road to hoe. I think Kansas City wins this game, but if it wasn't Baltimore, I'd probably be leaning purple.
Yeah, that's the thing. I want to say that Lamar Jackson's at least two of the three wins that he had to start this little three-game winning streak they're on, they were all at home. And I said this last night when we talked about this matchup, he's been buoyed by a lot of defensive points, special teams touchdowns. I think the Chiefs are a different beast. They're going to be able to score points. That's the biggest difference. You know, you go to Atlanta, and the Falcons are a shell of the team that made it to the Super Bowl a few years ago. You're beating a team like Oakland at home. And look, the Chiefs are a different beast. And so I think the Chiefs are going to hold serve at home. They're going to win. It's going to be an important game for them as well, because the Chargers are nipping at their heels, and they can actually, I believe they can actually lock up the AFC West with a win and a Chargers loss. Don't quote me on that. It might take two, but still, I think the Chiefs win this game. Now, the Browns are still hanging around. I'm not sure how, but they are. And they host the Panthers at 1:00 on Sunday. What are your thoughts on that matchup?
You have two teams actually going in opposite directions. Once the Steelers beat the Panthers, they kind of ended their season. And that was a 6-3 team at the time. But the Panthers are really reeling. And I really like what's happening in Cleveland. I mean, it's not the perfect team right now, but each week they're finding themselves even more and more. I could actually see Cleveland going in and winning this game.
Yeah. I'm going to take Carolina just because I think Carolina has more to play for. But the Browns have been a group that is kind of turn the tables a little bit since they fired Hugh Jackson. They're looking really smart for making that decision, but also go with the Panthers there in that matchup. Last game, 4:05, the Cincinnati Bungles go out to L.A. to play the Chargers. The Chargers will continue their AFC North stint. They have three games in a row against AFC North teams as they beat the Steelers last week. Obviously, they have the Bengals this week and the Ravens next week. So what are your thoughts on the Bengals going out west?
To quote Voldemort, from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, when he came out and said, spoiler alert, Jeff, sorry, I know you're going to watch this, Harry Potter is dead! Well, I'd like to change that to Marvin Lewis is dead! The Cincinnati Bengals are done. I think Marvin Lewis is getting fired now. I said this next week. They are done. AJ Green is out for the year. This team is nothing. They are, and if it wasn't for their great start, this is the worst team on the planet right now. In fact, I think this is a worse team than the Oakland Raiders, the New York Jets, and maybe my Pee Wee football team that went 0-6 in 1984.
So if we went back and rewound the tape to last year at this time, would we not be saying the same thing about Marvin Lewis that we're saying right now?
This is worse, though, Jeff. It's worse.
How? How is it? I think it's the same situation. He's going to have injuries to crutch himself on and say, well, I lost my quarterback and my best wide receiver was injured. Vontaze Burfict is a giant turd. So, you know, he's going to have all these things to lean on. Don't you think I'm not predicting that guy to ever get fired because I don't know if it ever will.
They've got their backup plan in Huey Jackson.
I pray that they do. If they do fire him, please, God, hire Hugh Jackson. That would be the best. That would be the best. So, all right. Okay. I think we would take the Chargers. There you go. So let's talk Steelers. That's what everyone wants to hear. What the Steelers, Raiders, we know the history. We know all those issues. So what exactly are you thinking for this Sunday at 4:25? I checked 4:25 Eastern time, not 4:05. So what are your thoughts on that game? How do you see it playing out? What's your score prediction?
Well, first and foremost, something that nobody has talked about, David Carr's comments back in July or August about Ben Roethlisberger not being a top 10 quarterback. You don't think that's still not stuck in the craw of number 7? You think he's not thinking about that? You think that he's not stopping and saying, hey, wait a second, I've never won in this place and you're telling me I can't? I really think that they need this redemption game. I know you said called it a get well game. I like that. Look, this team is not a bad football team. 3 weeks ago, we had them going to the Super Bowl. Then they had two losses. But are we ready to bury this team? You could never bury a Mike Tomlin team in December. That guy is a leader of men, knows how to get this team going. They're going to go in there and exercise those demons and go ahead and win this game. It's going to be Ben Roethlisberger, and it's going to be tons of Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown might score 46 touchdowns this week.
So what's your prediction score? Well, give me a number.
I am going to go with Pittsburgh 41, Oakland 30.
Do you have them scoring 30 points on this Steelers defense? I mean, I know the Steelers defense isn't the steel curtain, but my gosh, 30?
What was the score of last week's game? Kansas City, 33. Oakland, 30.
That's a division game, man. That's a division game. You know what those are like. Those can be aberrations if I've ever seen one. But I understand what you're saying. Okay, so you said 41 to 30?
Yep.
Okay. I definitely like the Steelers. I said that last night with my show with Lance on the standards is standard. But I didn't give a score prediction because I really hadn't thought about it. And I didn't think about it too much today. I was a little too busy. I'm going to go with the Steelers. Definitely, I think they win. I think that this is a game you have to have. With the situation in the AFC North and in the AFC playoff picture, you cannot lose to a 2-win team and expect to be taken seriously. So I think the Steelers win this game. I'm going to go with a final score of, let's go with, I don't think they're going to get to 40 because I think they're going to have a lead and they're going to kind of sit on it. I'm going to go with 38 to 14 Pittsburgh, 38 to 14, maybe 38 to 17, but I'll stick with 38 to 14. I think the Steelers are a good football team. I think that they are a team that is, you know, due for a good game. We'll put it that way. Due for a good game. So there you have it. Any other comments about that there, Brian?
Yeah, you just said something about sitting on a lead. For goodness sake, don't sit on a lead anymore. It doesn't matter if you crush a team. If you could crush a team, crush them. You're surrendering leads. This team gets a lead. They're like me with my first paycheck in high school. I got my first paycheck. I went out and blew it. And then I didn't pay my parents for the insurance, the car insurance that I was supposed to pay them, because I was out hanging out at Chuck E. Cheese or wherever I was. I don't know if I was Chuck E. Cheese, but I mean,
I hope you weren't at Chuck E. Cheese. That's creepy.
Yeah, at age 16, I hope I wasn't either. But I mean, but no, you know what? Lead, and they're like, "All right, we're good. Woo, let's party.
I got you. Let's party.
Yeah. Stop it."
Okay. I put out the question to our YouTube audience that we're taking some questions now. And we'll see who and see if we have anything coming up. But I do know that my co-host from two other shows, The Post Game and The Standard, Lance Williams, said he had sent me of some video earlier, and he wants me to talk about it. And that is that the flea flicker play that the Steelers ran against the Chargers last week. If you watch the All 22. You have to look at Juju Smith-Schuster in that play, because he might as well have been wearing a billboard with flashing lights that says "I'm wide open." Maybe not as the Ben's failure to see him might not have been as egregious as the overthrow to Justin Hunter, which, by the way, I hope Ben's fronting the bill for something, because my gosh, he ended the guy's season, for crying out loud.
He ended his career, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, think about that. Ben better be, he better feel awful about that. But anyways, Lance wanted me to bring that up, that he was, the Juju was wide open on the right sideline, and for some reason, Roethlisberger tried to force it to Justin Hunter in double coverage. So maybe not the best, maybe not the best example of Ben Roethlisberger reading the play. So there you go. Let's get to some questions here. Will the much maligned James Washington make a big catch Sunday against the Raiders? What do you think, Brian?
I'm going to say yes. He's prime for it.
Yeah, I mean, he's putting himself in the situation. He's getting open. I think that's something people forget. I mean, in Denver, when he was wide open and he did a Swan Lake impersonation for no reason, I'm not sure why, but he was wide open. He ran a really good route. So he's getting there. They just have to trust him. He's got to trust himself. Do what you've been doing your whole life. Catch the football. Okay, here's a good one. This person that said, Jeff, I meant to ask you last night, does James Conner's pound-for-pound hard-nosed running style concern you for his longevity? Try not to look too far into things, but something I recognize. It's a good question. I don't think that's, you know, that's a legitimate question if you ask me. What do you think about that, Brian?
Jerome Bettis had a long career.
Well, Jerome Bettis was built for that, though. I mean, he was a big guy. I mean, James Conner, I mean, he's not small by any stretch of the imagination, but he's not a bruiser, you know?
You know what concerns me even more about his hard-nosed running style is, and we've talked about this earlier in the season, he's going to get turnovers because of that hard-nosed running style. But, you know, back to the question, you know, that could shorten his career. Really, I mean, it does concern me. I mean, he got hurt this last week, but I don't really believe it was due to his hard-nosed running style hurt. You know, that was just ankle injury. That was just an injury. So I don't think it lends to how hard he runs. But, you know, I mean, when you're taking a beating like that, going up the middle, you know, that could take some years off your career.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I don't know. He's been running this way his whole life, and he did it when he was at Pitt and all that. So we'll see what happens. I think that, I know that the players were talking today in the locker room during their media availability that they were hoping that he's back next week, although the Post-Gazette reported that he's out at least for 2 weeks. You would really hope that they have him back for that Patriots game, but I'm just not sure if he'll be ready. That those high ankle sprains or ankle sprains in general typically take some time. Lance points out that In 1995, the game was at the Coliseum, which is the last time they beat the Raiders in the West Coast. The game was in L.A. It was not in Oakland. So he was at the game. That's how he knows. And he's not going to this game. So
I thought they moved in. I thought 95 was their first season moving. Or was that 96 then?
That's a great question that I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. We'll see. Maybe Lance will throw that out in the live chat. So, Isaac asked, will Lance have to get the mask ready this Sunday? Now, I'll have to ask. I know Isaac's been listening to us for a long time. I'll have to ask him and see if he's going to just any win now, if it has to be a streak. My guess is Lance is going to say if they beat the Patriots, he'll put the mask on again because that would be a significant win.
Oh, so it's a big game mask.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see if he we'll see if he's ready to commit to that. I don't know. It doesn't look very comfortable. I'll put it that way. Someone asked a question that was pretty interesting, saying, do the Steelers need to have a losing season, like something like 7-9, to improve their defense? I think he's referring more to of where they would be drafting if they ended with a losing season. I'm going to go first and say that no, they do not need to do that. They can thank a certain number 26, in my opinion, for a great deal of rollover salary cap space for next year as a way that they can improve their defense. The $14.5 million they get to roll over into the 2019 salary cap will go a long way to bringing some talent to Pittsburgh, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You could look at cornerback. You could look at inside linebacker. You could look at edge rusher. There's a lot of different places you could look, and they will have some options that they normally don't have due to how tight they are to the cap. Brian, what do you think?
Well, in 2014, they 2013, they did not have a losing season. In fact, came very close to going to the playoffs if it wasn't for that Kansas City kicker that ruined it for them by missing that kick against San Diego at the time. But if you look at the fact, next year in 2014, they drafted Ryan Shazier in the first round and Stephon Tuitt in the second round. And if it wasn't for that horrific injury last year, those are mainstays of the defense now, because Stephon Tuitt is definitely one of them. So you can improve your defense by just picking smart.
I think you're right. And quick sidebar here. I hope everyone saw it. If they haven't seen it all, I'm going to do an article on it tomorrow morning. Ryan Shazier, who has been very, very guarded during his rehabilitation for the last year, December 4th marked the 1-year anniversary of him getting injured in Cincinnati on Monday Night Football. And he posted, he hasn't shared anything other than, you know, thanks, I appreciate the support, keep Shay leaving, all that stuff. Posted a video today on social media channels, platforms. It showed him deadlifting some weight. Now, I'm a former trainer. I'm someone that trains a lot. The weight he's lifting is not significant. It's the fact that he is deadlifting extra weight. His form looks phenomenal. He looks like he is still very, very strong in all the right places. Super, super exciting to see. If you haven't seen it, make sure you check out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com tomorrow, or you can just check out on social media this afternoon. It is inspirational. I continue to root for that guy every single day. I have bought one of his 412 shirts, and I wear it proudly. It's just an amazing, amazing story when you think about the doctors gave him 20% chance to walk again. And here he is a year later. Not only is he walking, he's picking up his pace while he's walking. Joey Porter went as far as saying that he is doing some light jogging. And then on top of that, he's now doing some weight training. My goodness, this guy is an inspiration. So just want a quick sidebar there, Brian. I don't know if you saw that or not yet.
I have not seen that as of yet, but I tell you what, I am so inspired by this man, what he's done. And not for the football player, but for the man and the heart inside that man.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you haven't checked that out, check it out. So other than that, I mean, any other final thoughts for the from this game, Brian? With, you know, it's like you said, it's not a must win, but man, does it carry some magnitude with it.
You know what? This is the time to clean up your business. Take care of your own home right now. And that's what this game could go ahead and afford them to do. Because this season is not over because of two losses in a row. Just like it was not over when they started the first quarter 1-2-1. This is another quarter that, even though you have some daunting teams out there, like the News, New Orleans, New England, but you could come out and steal one of those games too, but take care of business in the games you're supposed to win. And it starts this week against the Oakland Raiders.
Absolutely. And so this could be, you know, we talked, Mike Tomlin has a tremendous December record and he took a hit last week. But at the same time, was last week was in December, right, Brian?
December 2nd. Yes.
Okay. So he took a hit there, but I think that in the final quarter, they've been a tremendous football team. I said it last night. I say it again. I think they go 3-1 in down these last four. Brian, what would your prediction be in terms of the last four games? You're given win loss total. What are you taking?
Well, it's I say 3-1 as well. I'm still concerned about that New Orleans game, and I'm not looking ahead. I'm not saying that they're going to go ahead and just crush New England or beat New England or anything. But New England, they can still lose to New England. But New England's kind of ripe for the picking this year.
Seems like it. They're not the same team. So
no, if you're going to get them, this seems to be the year to get them. But clean your house first.
Yeah. You got to take care of business out on the road in Oakland. So folks that are listening, we thank you for listening. Brian, I thank you for taking the time. Make sure that if you've not followed us on YouTube, you go to youtube.com and search BTSE Steelers Radio. Subscribe, like, comment. We appreciate it. Have a great little community there. And then if you're listening to us in audio form, or if you didn't know that we're on a bunch of different platforms. We are not just iTunes, but Google Play, Stitch, Art19, Spotify, all those places. If you typically just type in Pittsburgh Steelers or just Steelers, you'll see the Behind the Steel Curtain logo pop up. Give us a follow. We appreciate all the listens that you do, and share the word. You know, most of the time you have Steeler friends. If you're enjoying the product, you're enjoying the content, share it with people. We appreciate that. So for Dime, I'm Jeff. That's Brian. We'll see you next week as we prep for the biggest game of the year, the New England Patriots on the Steelers preview. We'll see you.
Hey, I'm Anil Dash, and I'm the host of a new show called Function from the Vox Media Podcast Network and Glitch. This season, we're talking with experts about why our voting machines are so bad and how that might hurt our elections. We'll also talk with an animator to find out how popular dances from the real world end up in video games. And we're going to tackle the biggest question in tech. Why do so many celebrities use screenshots from that Apple Notes app to make their public apologies when they screw up? You can find new episodes of Function every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thanks to Microsoft Azure for sponsoring Function.